Welcome, everybody, to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast, the podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us, toy collecting. That's right, we're a group of grown men who love collecting toys and have somehow found a way to trick the opposite sex into having real-life relationships with us, sometimes even resulting in children. So here we come and talk about all the immature things we love, and sometimes how it impacts our lives in general, as husbands, fathers, and even at the workplace. So go find a good hiding spot to listen to our newest edition of this podcast, because if your wife, girlfriend, or maybe even your mom finds out, they might just want to kill you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Nice to see you. All right. That's enough of that. Well, hey, crowd. I'd like to hear that again. Make me feel better. Wow. That gives me goosebumps. Yep. Okay. Settle down. Okay, my name is Steve Bisciotti, and I'm one of the hosts of this little podcast we're trying to do here. It is our first podcast. It's actually, we're going to be referred to as Episode Zero. We don't know what we're doing. We've never done this before. We literally called Amazon while we were watching a Detroit Lions game. We're from Michigan, so don't get too hard on us. But we were watching that. We called Amazon. We said, hey, let's have a podcast, and a podcast showed up in a box at my doorstep. I don't even know how to talk. But anyways, what we're going to do here, we're going to have a podcast about toys, and I have two co-hosts with me. I'll introduce myself. My name is Steve Bisciotti, and I'm going to be trying to take you guys through this journey. So anyways, like I said, this is episode zero. So what we're going to do here, it's going to be different than our other shows. Other shows, we're going to talk about toys. We're going to talk about various aspects of how adult toy collecting affects our lives. And hopefully have some fun with it. But for now, we're just going to let you get to know us. What the idea of this show is 50 episodes down the road when a newcomer comes here because his friends told him he just has to listen to us, he can go back to episode zero and find out what we're all about. So that's what we're going to try to do here. And to get started, I would like to introduce you to my first co-host. His name is Travis Bowles. And welcome, Travis. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Great.
Good deal. I'm going to... little background on Travis. I know the answer to these questions, but I know you don't. So you're married like me with a family and have a job. What's that like?
It's wonderful, actually, most of the time, as we all know. I have a wonderful wife. She supports this habit that I have to some extent. I have a 10-year-old son who's also into toys. We have a little bit different tastes, of course. He is a Minecraft freak, which I just cannot get into. But it makes things, you know, that much more interesting because I get to kind of go through the whole toy experience with him, you know, as I'm kind of going back and, you know, finding my love for certain toys and falling in love with new toys that come out.
It's a lot different nowadays, isn't it? The young kids don't like the same stuff we did, do they?
No, and, you know, when you start talking about iPads and all these things, it's a different world. Kids don't play like, you know, we used to play.
Doesn't seem like they do anyways, that's for sure. So yeah, anyways, tell us a little bit about what you collect.
You know, I collect a wide variety of stuff. I mostly right now I'm a Marvel Universe guy. And when I say Marvel Universe, Marvel Legends, Marvel Universe, that's probably what I mostly focus on, especially with a new emphasis on the Legends line. I'm in love right now, and unfortunately money is just flowing right out of my wallet because of it. But I'm also a G.I. Joe fan. I got back into it and went back and got a lot of the vintage stuff. And then when I saw the quality of some of the newer stuff that's coming out, I jumped right on board with that stuff. And so Marvel, G.I. Joe, I'm getting into some really cool Kickstarter things that are happening that fall into the scales that I like. You know, 4-inch and 6-inch. There's a lot of really fun things that are out there and stuff that you just can't find at stores if you, you know, you're willing to fund something on Kickstarter.
Awesome. So yeah, if you had to pick, if your wife came to you and said, "Hey, Trav, you got to pick one thing,
or I'm going to kill you,"
or "I'm going to kill you," which yeah, absolutely. What would it be?
You know, it's funny. 4 years ago, I would have said Marvel Universe, the 4-inch scale, without a doubt. Recently, within the last 1 to 2 years. Hasbro has just been killing it with Marvel Legends, and that's what it would be now. I'd say I would pick Marvel Legends over anything else that's out there.
Wow, that's going on a limb. I mean, Marvel Legends are pretty cool, but there's a lot of cooler stuff out there, I think. Just kidding, I'm just giving you a hard time. No, I think Marvel Legends are awesome. I'll talk about that later. Okay, so I got more questions here, but my iPad isn't showing me exactly what I want to see. So,
well, we'll go back to those, and I'll go ahead and introduce myself, so they don't know, so everybody knows who's chiming in the hilarious banter from the background.
He couldn't wait, could he, fellas?
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, do your thing.
We'll get back to you soon, Pete.
I wasn't ready.
You weren't ready. Okay, so now this is a good question. Explain where the name How I Met Your Mother. You ever see that show? Explain where the name My Wife Is Going to Kill Me came from, and how that relates to your little toy business and how all that came about.
I want to say maybe 6 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. I had a buddy who posted on Facebook that he had a box of his old toys he wanted to get rid of. And at the time, so my son would have been 4-ish, I thought it would be a great thing to out to him, and I could get this box of toys. And so my buddy Dave, he brings these toys over, and as he brings the toys over, I take a look at them, and it's G.I. Joe, Transformers, and this stuff is beautiful. It's, you know, pristine. Like, I swear the guy never even played with it. He put it on a shelf and just looked at it, you know, as a kid. So nice. Yeah. So I was like, holy shit, I cannot give these to my 4-year-old kid. And
no
and way. It was the Tomahawk, Hydrofoil, Optimus Prime, just some great figures, you know, from my childhood, from the 80s. And so I ended up keeping them, and it kind of rekindled that in me and said, man, you know, you have a good job now. You know, you have some play money. And I went out and started buying. And I went overboard. I went crazy. I was, you know, He-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Marvel. I was just going nuts. And so what happened was, my wife says to me one day, you know, you need to scale down. You need to pick some things. You need to focus. You can collect, but you have to focus. So I went to a show, and it was a Grand Rapids toy show here in Michigan, and I went to sign up, and they said, well, what's your name of your company? And I was like, oh, shit, I have no idea. And I thought, well, how about My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me?
Just came to you, just like that.
Not
a lot of premeditation. I don't know this story. I never really knew where that came from.
Here we are 6 years later podcasting about
it. I would have expected somebody funnier like Pete would have come up with that, and you'd have stole it from him, but, you know.
Nope, that's how it went down, you know. And so here I was. I started selling. The first show we did really well. And the money part you didn't even really worry about, because you didn't, when you bought the stuff, it wasn't like you were buying it to flip it. So my wife said, you know, I really will support you doing this as long as the money you make keeps going into the toys. And so now, you know, I've made some great friends, had a ton of fun, and found toys that, you know, those you didn't think you were ever going to find, and you end up with four of them if you're patient.
Yes, I found that. Yeah, that's absolutely true. So that's cool. Now, I got to ask this. Basically, I asked this guy to you, but it's just because I want to answer this question when it gets my turn. So if... What is your favorite toy that you can remember as a child? It could be a specific toy, or maybe even just say a toy line. What if you had, you know, back to your youth, nostalgic wise, what's number one to you?
You know, I think for me, it has to be just G.I. Joe. And I can't really put a finger on a certain G.I. Joe. I loved sci-fi. You know, Cobra Bats. There was so many of them that, you know, it'd be hard for me to, but I think that for me is definitely, when I think back to my childhood, it's that, you know, it's awesome. G.I. Joe.
Yep. I can definitely be sympathetic towards that line of thought. G.I. Joe is awesome. So what other nerdy passions do you have?
Movies. I love going to the movies. Yep, I love reading comics. Clash of Clans is just killing me right now. Clans. Yep. Yep. I also coach.
How are we doing in that war? By the way, I'm not even paying attention. Over here.
Probably not too good because I haven't attacked yet, and I'm your heavy hitter.
You're something like that.
Yeah, those level 2 dragons are killer, Steve. Yep. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think. Anything in that realm, you know, I know that the show we're going to be based around toys, but movies, comics, those are the things I love talking about. You know, there's a few other books I like to read, Stephen King, that kind of stuff. I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of that stuff as we get going too.
Sure we will. Another question I have, I think people want to know is, you know, we've run into people here in doing this, going to toy shows and all that. You know, they kind of lead almost a double life. They don't tell people that they do this. They're grown men. They're kind of ashamed of it. So how out of the closet are you about this whole thing?
I am definitely out. Yeah, there's no doubt that.
Ticker day parade style out.
Oh, yeah. Out. And that's, I've always been that way. When I first met my wife, she came over and there was a shelf of Spawn toys in my bedroom, you know, that she said were creepy, of course. But I've always really kind of been, and I should say always, you know, there was that phase where you're 16, you know, or there's other things that are a little bit more important to you than toy collecting.
Girls.
Yep, girls mostly.
Mine was academic studies. I was really involved in youth group and those types of things. That's why I was out of toys for a period.
Right, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure, there's a lot of truth behind that one. So, okay. Well, that is, I guess I've asked you all the questions that I have written down here. That's a big secret to our listeners. I'm not just going off the cuff here. I have stuff written down in front of me. Okay, we'll talk a little more, bit more amongst us, but we're going to move on to our second co-host, Pete McCarthy. He's with us here, and Pete, tell us a little bit about your family and do you have a job? Are you living in your mom's basement? What's going on?
I do not live in my mom's basement. I did at one point, once I was out of my own, I did move back into my parents' home, and luckily that
loser
was very, very short-lived. I was into Magic the Gathering quite a bit at that point in time, and you guys understand how that is. So I'm Pete McCarthy, obviously. Really excited to be doing this. I think it's a very cool idea, another way to kind of be in this world. And what's funny to me is that the three of us sit here, and you've got, Travis and I were friends, and he kind of brought me into the world of comics and the world of toys. And then, you know, he kind of met you because of toys. So you kind of came in on the other side, and then of course now we've mm-hmm. become friends.
Absolutely.
And it's just, you guys had mentioned the people that you meet, and holy hell, if we met some creepy people along the way, but it's really been a good time, and I've really enjoyed it myself. I having a four-year-old son, my daughters aren't necessarily very into the toy aspect, but you know, I've been able to go back and start collecting some of those toys from my childhood, much like you guys have. And I'm that nostalgia type collector. I'm not a, you know, I don't have really anything set. I just, the stuff that I remember from being a kid and playing with my brothers, and, you know, those trips to the store, you know, with your parents and those types of things. And that's kind of where my my whole realm comes from. And I just enjoy hanging out at the shows and people watching and all of those fun things. And that's really been the most fun for me thus far. So.
Nice. So what is your, what do you collect?
As far as collecting, I am weirdly specific. Vintage Ninja Turtle is my main focus. I've been working on collecting the new Nickelodeon line as well, buying duplicates. You know, we play with one set, we keep one set, which I always thought was ridiculous. Why would you ever buy toys and not play with them? And now I've, you know, I've realized how, you know, the on the collecting aspect of that. And there's a couple of mask vehicles that I was very into, and I've been able to pick up both of those. I do collect some G.I. Joe, but again, weirdly specific. I collect the emergency responders, the firefighters, and the medics, and I collect any G.I. Joe that has an animal, for whatever reason.
That has an animal.
And I don't even remember how that started one day, but I ended up picking up. So if the G.I. Joe had an animal with it, as ridiculous as that eagle may be, I collect those. Or is it a hawk?
So you wouldn't get the Snake Eyes version 1 that didn't come with Timber?
No.
Really?
I want nothing to do with Snake Eyes unless he has Timber. but, you know, and there was one piece I've been hot after for a couple of years. I was finally able to pull the trigger on it because Travis picked up a great lot. And that was the original from the Banzai 1996 Power Rangers series, was the original Megazord. Remember playing with that as a kid, and that was one that I'd been looking at, and my son plays with it now because I knew that was going to happen. But either way, we have it in our collection now. So again, if it looks cool to me, if it strikes my fancy, I'll pick it up. I want to pick up some of the Ghostbusters stuff just because the comedy side of me and just enjoys the way that movie was written and the comedic talent that was in it. So those toys kind of have a special spot for me as well. So
nice. And as you bring up the comedy side in you, let's tell us a little bit about your stand-up stuff you do and how that all came about.
I've been doing, actually this month, it's been 3 years since I did my first stand-up show. Actually had just had some stress going on at my full-time job. I work in public safety, and I thought, man, there's got to be something that I can do outside of this. And I've always been a comedy fan, and I told my wife, I said, you know what, I think I'm gonna try stand-up comedy. And she looked at me like I had a dick hanging off my face. It was that kind of surprise, you know.
Well, did you?
So I did not at that time. Okay. I did not. No.
As long as we're clear.
That's a great visual. So you guys can follow me on Twitter to see what my face looks like, so you can visualize said phallic object attached to it. But I actually called a friend of mine. I shouldn't say I called. I Facebook stalked a friend of mine and did that. Hey, it's been 10 years since we've talked. You're a stand-up comic. How do I get a stand-up comic?
Gosh,
message?
You're that guy.
I was that guy. And he was actually super stoked to hear about somebody else from his hometown. And actually in the message was like, dude, you were so funny back in school. You know, make a go of it. He gave me a couple of email addresses. I fired off emails. The next day I had a spot a month later, and the rest is history. I now I host my own show in Whitehall, where we live, here in the Mitten.
And we're going to keep that a secret.
Travis already said it earlier.
I wasn't listening.
Okay. Well, pay better attention if you're going to shish people, okay?
That's right.
And it's the last Saturday of the month at the Chamber Bar. And that's pretty much more showcase style. Typically a couple of open mic, newer comics, and we have a paid headliner that wraps the show up. But that's been an awesome endeavor for me outside of the normalcy of the day-to-day.
Cool. So I'm going to give you this question, too. Hey, well, if one, your favorite childhood toy or toy line?
It's got to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The 88 to 97 Playmate stuff was just... It was one of those where it was like, you know, you're 10 years old, and Mom, I swear, I will match that whole basket of socks if you buy me this turtle, you know? And I remember, you know, each year coming out and or you're the Monty Moose and that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, these are so cool. And like I said, that's really, and even like this last year for Christmas, you know, you get to the point of where with family, you're like, we're not buying each other gifts. This is crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. And but I ended up picking up some vintage toys from our childhood for my brothers for Christmas. And I tell you what, we just had an absolute blast because it just brought back all of that.
You guys sat down on the floor and played.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, you know. So, and then I showed them some of the ones I had mint on card and they wanted to open them. And I had to karate chop the both of them.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But
especially if they're those KB Toys repackaged things. You can leave those on the card, right? No, I really just to comment on the dynamic of the group here. Me and Travis are a little bit older than Pete, so Ninja Turtles. I played with them for the first couple of years there, but I was out quick with them. So I do like them and everything. But he's gonna that Moose thing he mentioned. I don't know what he was talking about. And what is those things called? The weird guys that do karate chops on TV, the live action Power Rangers. Yeah, that right there. I don't know about that either. So basically what we're trying to say is when it comes to that late 80s, early 90s stuff, Pete's probably going to know that a little bit better than us, and we shame him for it. So,
and while we're talking about shaming, it's important to note that, yes, I am by far the youngest of this group. I have the oldest child. So if that points to life choices,
condoms, kids, condoms.
If anybody was curious, just wanted to make that distinction.
All right. So, like I asked Travis, or you know, are you out? Are you like, you know, with this? So you're okay with it as long as it's not rubbed in your face, kind of thing. No, I'm asking you if you know, do your like coworkers and whatnot? They know you do this sort of thing, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I catch hell for it. it's like I said, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody wants to poke fun until I get back from the Comic-Con. Then they all want to see my phone because mm-hmm. they want to see all the cosplay chicks that were walking around the Comic-Con.
I'm like,
no, you can't look because you make fun of me.
Right.
And you hurt her feelings when you say those mean things. So, but no, like I said, the comics, what I really got into initially was reading comics and the toys kind of actually came secondary for me. But I, just like all of those other people that poke fun at me, I will ride you to the ends of the earth if you're a Doctor Who fan. I like to go to Comic-Cons just specifically to make fun of those people. Because we always make fun of those who are different from us. And you know, people.
It's the American way.
That's how we roll.
That is. Yeah, absolutely.
You go into a phone booth in my world, you better come out dressed as goddamn Superman. You know what I mean? That's the phone booth in my metropolis.
Okay, so, well, I guess that's all I have for you right now. We'll be back to talk a little later, all of us, because we're all sitting here staring at each other. So, on to me. My,
well, hold on. We got to do this right.
What?
So, Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, that's nice. I like that. The pressure just went right off my shoulders. Am I married? Yes, I am married. I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world, and she is listening. No one's listening. she might someday.
I think Travis took his headphones off.
I'm pretty sure he's over there sleeping. So, I'm married, and I have two daughters, 11 and, I don't know, the other one's somewhere around 6, 7. 8, I don't know. No, it's 11 and 8.
She's at least 7. I know for a fact she's 7-ish.
Yeah. So, yep, family guy, pretty family oriented. I'm very boring. I go to bed by 9 every day if I can. This is getting, let's see. Holy cats, it's 8:35. I almost got to go, guys. So, yeah, absolutely.
And it's important to point this aspect out. You, of all of the collecting, at least to my limited knowledge being new to the game, your addiction is much more expensive than the average bear's. You want to maybe shed some light on that for us?
I have been known to be referred to as big money. if you ever hear that on the pod in this podcast, they are talking about me. I collect hot toys, and I'm trying to find a like a, was that a 12-step program to get out of them? Because
I think it's actually called a 12-inch program for like hot toys.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So, yeah, I do. I collect hot toys. And, you know, one thing about this podcast that I think is kind of cool and may separate us a little bit from some of the other ones that are out there, we're just average guys. And not to say that the other guys aren't, but we're not getting stuff shipped to us from companies to like review or anything. And, you know, I don't know how all that works even, but I know it happens. So every hot toy in my collection, I have to hide from my wife, have it shipped somewhere else, lie to her about where I got it, you know, tell her, hey, I picked it up at a toy show and it was open and used. I got it for like $30. But, you know, it was really actually under my bed upstairs, you know, hiding for 6 months before I could wait for a good toy show to come home from that she knows might even have a hot toy there. No, but I do collect them. I'm actually waiting on Han and Chewie should be here Monday. And hoping that our next podcast, you know, we can actually bring this thing in here, set it on this table, and we can all kind of tell people what we think about it.
And if you have anything that you want to send us to review, we will do it.
Well, yeah, I'm not opposed to it.
We won't sell out. We're not going to take bribes. But I'm not opposed to it. If you send us something to review, we will tell you what we think.
But like, there are podcasts out there that do hot toys, and you know, amongst the guys that do them, they almost review every single thing that they come out. You won't be getting that from me. You'll be getting very selective ones that, you know, I like you're not going to, you know, Batman's cool, but I'm not a huge fan. You won't see a Batman hot toy in my case. You know, if someone gave it to me, I'd take it. Hint, hint.
But if you were to send it to 614 East Colby in Whitehall, Michigan, we would definitely accept it into the collection.
But on top of that, I also collect Masters of the Universe Classics. I collect the Vintage Masters. I collect Vintage Joe. I collect the New Joe. I collect Marvel Legends and the Star Wars 6-inch Black. I don't really get into the 3 3/4 Star Wars.
Can we say that?
What?
It's probably 6-inch African American, isn't it? I don't want to upset anybody. It's episode 0. I don't want to go.
I think you just made me snort on a podcast.
Sure. Now we're offending pigs, too.
I'm pretty sure that just happened.
Pigs all over the world are offended.
Offended right yes. now. They're tucking curly Q tail and running.
So, yeah.
I'm gonna go off script a little bit. Steve was nice enough to write some things. It is also important to designate that Travis and I are incredibly handsome. We're very, very funny. We're charismatic. Neither one of us are talented in the least. Steve, actually, does killer custom work, and not only actual action figures, whether it be the creation of, but also killer landscapes and different things for the figures that he collects. So
I'm a huge nerd.
and honestly, I mean, I look at, again, being the new guy on the block as far as collecting goes, how do you make that transition from, hey, these are really cool, but I can make them better? And then actually being able to do that. You create these new characters, and, you know, what made you decide to do that aspect of collecting?
As far as the landscapes are concerned, what really drove that was I was out of collecting for a long time. I always perused the toy aisle at every store, but I wasn't buying anything. It just wasn't a good time in my life for that. And then Masters of the Universe Classics sucked me in. And not till 2012. They started in 2008. I found them late. I was actually looking on Amazon for a He-Man t-shirt on a whim and found this super articulated He-Man. And I was like, where are those at? And then the rest is history. And they cost a lot of money. Anyways.
The He-Man t-shirt actually showed up. It was in actually He-Man size, so he has not been able to wear it yet, but we're working on it. So
anyways, I started buying these, and at first I didn't know you guys. I didn't know Travis, and I hadn't met anybody that was really like receptive to this whole mid-30s guy collecting toys. So I thought, well, I'm just going to buy He-Man and Skeletor because, you know, I'd like to have them nostalgic-wise, and you know, I'm going to let them sit on a shelf. And I got them, and then I had to open them. And I wanted to buy more, and I thought, what am I going to do with them? You know, I'm not going to display them in my own home. And as these guys know, my home is a big display. My whole basement's full of toys on display now. But at that time, I was like, this, you know, this isn't happening. So the landscape thing was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna build a huge diorama, and I'm going to put these He-Man guys on it. And I did. I built a table like a guy would for a train in his basement, and I did that in my basement, and I created this whole landscape, and it grew and grew and grew and grew. And then that sparked my interest to get the old vintage He-Man toys, which got me interested in going to toy shows, which is where I met Travis, and things went on spiraling out of control after that.
We're not quite as bad as the train guys at this point, though.
And
those train guys are weird.
Absolutely. And then the customs just came from, I would see other people's customs at shows. They would show me their stuff, and it would be really cool, and they would want a lot of money for it a lot of times, and I would be like, I can do that. I'd like to have that, but why would I give that guy that money when I can probably come up with that myself? So that's what started me to want to do that, and I started tearing apart G.I. Joes. I really only customized G.I. Joes so far. I mean, I've done a little few things for Travis, a couple repaints on like a Marvel Legend here and there, whatnot. But
what Marvel Legend did you have repainted? How did I miss that?
It was actually Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay.
It was a Sasquatch. Yeah,
I thought that was a Marvel Legend.
It was a Toy Biz. Scale wise, I'm using it with.
But it originally was a Marvel Legend.
Not a Legend. Toy Biz. It was prior to the Legend series. And
but you basically took it from what at that time was a larger line.
Yeah.
And then put it in with the 375 Marvel Universe.
Yep.
Because he wasn't quite big enough for the Legends. And he was orange.
Right.
Very plasticky looking, and I attempted to make him look a little bit more real.
Successful, Travis?
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Cool. You know, do you think, you know, obviously, you know, having the artistic ability, but, you know, we have a friend who, you know, will be a guest on this show. Do you think that if he had not been around, and you guys will meet him soon, and it's Joe Crazy Bill, and he's a hell of a customizer, do you think if there hadn't been that friendship that started, that you ever would have started customizing?
I don't know. I can't say that I never would have started customizing. I definitely can tell you it wouldn't have been so quick.
Right.
If Bill wouldn't have been there, and Bill gave me all kinds of tips, you know. I like to say I have a little bit of natural artistic ability, but there's just things that I just don't know, I didn't know how to do. And Bill was able to just say, take this and do this with it, and blammo.
Yep.
And so he did help me along quite a bit.
And never has a name been more appropriate than Joe Crazy Bill. So, like, I'm concerned at some point, like, if there were ever like a toy investigation division, he's a serial killer for toy. He just has bins and bins. Like, he's the Jeffrey Dahmer of customizing. It's just body parts galore in random bins in his basement. And he's done some incredible work too. And I sit back and Travis and I have often sat back and been like, I hate those guys, you know, just because, again, to take something from the visualization aspect and go, hey, this production company, they produced these, mass produced these after some engineer designed them. They made all this money, and then we actually took an afternoon and made it better. That's just a cool concept to me, and to have the artistic ability to do that is something that I'm lacking.
So I mean, jealous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So jealous.
Nine. Bill is good. I can't wait to have him on the show. He doesn't live geographically close to us, or he would be here, but we're going to try to find a way to get him in here as much as we can. And he's great. He has a totally different style than me. He works different than me. He's clean, and he's all organized, and I work in a big glob of glue. So, and that's pretty true. So anyways, hope I answered your question at length.
Favorite toy growing up.
Oh my God. He
had to go back.
He-Man is it for me.
Also the same one that if the wife said everything's got to go but one, He-Man's what would stay?
God, you know, it would be hard between the Hot Toys and He-Man. You know, okay, if you're looking at this realistically, like, okay, if I had to replace my Hot Toys or my He-Man, I'd probably grab my Hot Toys and try to work on replacing the He-Man. But if she says I can never replace them, I think if she says I can never replace them, I think I'm grabbing my He-Man stuff.
Big surprise, Steven picked a action figure which was pretty much a naked man running around with his sword.
Dude.
And when he wore clothes, it was a purple blouse.
Well, yeah, that was, dude, but you can't look at it that way. That was,
oh, we can look
that's
at that
Eternia.
Way.
You don't know what the style, that was really masculine in Eternia, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Pretty sure, yes, you know, yes. I mean, if you really look at how the other people were dressed.
Yep.
I mean, he looked pretty, I don't know, I think he looked sweet. Oh. The best part is the white fur on his boots.
Boots. Yes, furry boots. Purple blouse, white pants, and furry boots.
He-Man was it for me. He-Man was it for me as a kid. I remember I was so young when He-Man come on. I was calling him Me-Man because I got it wrong. And they would, you know, those commercials, He-Man, He-Man, He-Man. I don't know, you guys might not remember those.
I can't say that I do, but...
But, yeah, so I love that. My favorite property is probably Star Wars, but I'm not attached to the toys because... I was born in 78. The Star Wars toys came out in 77.
What do you mean by favorite property? Can you elaborate on that? I'm not.
Like, if you were to say, like, my number one favorite movie line, the lore, everything like that. Like He-Man has its I don't know what you call it, mythology. You know, and it's cool, and I like it.
In a world where it's okay to dress like a woman and be manly?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Where Star Wars is I love everything about it. But, so I guess if my wife were to say you can't ever, like, watch another movie but pick one property that you like, it would probably end up having to be Star Wars. But
you
like
are,
I said,
you're a conflicted man.
I am. That's why I collect so much stupid so much stuff. It's all over the board. But anyways, like I don't really care about the vintage toys because I didn't have them as a kid. There's no nostalgic connection to them. I was a little too young. My first Star Wars movie I saw was Return of the Jedi, and I saw them backwards because in 83 I was 5 when Return of the Jedi came out. But anyways.
What month did Return of the Jedi come out? Do you know off the top of your head?
They all came out in May.
Okay.
I don't know the date, but I think that...
So it was 7 months before I was born, Return of the Jedi came out then.
Oh. Is this your excuse? So,
wow.
Is this the excuse?
Are we going to do it? Are we going to do it in episode zero?
Well...
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen... Well, let me take that back. Lady and gentlemen, because I know there's not more than one woman listening to this, and it's probably just some dude's mom making cookies, so chocolate chip are my favorite, but... I have not seen the Star Wars franchise. It's constant ridicule from these guys because of my lack of knowledge. We're actually planning a pretty cool little dude day coming up to where they're gonna catch me up again just because I never got around to it. Again, being born at the tail end of 83,
no excuse.
It kind of. But that whole thing had kind of died down by the time I was old enough to watch movies.
The prequels should have, as much as they might suck in someone's eyes, they should have inspired you to go back and educate yourself.
But it had the opposite effect because the prequels, they didn't inspire me to go because I hadn't seen the other. And it felt like it was one of those situations where, you know, if you haven't seen the other movies, what's the point of going? And that's kind of how I always looked at it. And, you know, now I sit around the group and I... in high school, we all made fun of the one guy that had seen Star Wars, and now it's the other way around. Now I'm the one guy that hasn't seen it, and so the tables have turned a little bit in my world. So,
well, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I actually am kind of glad that you haven't seen Star Wars. I'm so glad you didn't see Star Wars until we started this podcast, because I really think it's going to be fun to kind of see you go through this and... you know, because I've got a lot of questions about myself that I think will be answered through you seeing Star Wars.
You're going to live vicariously through my Star Wars
experience. It's going to be such a different experience than me and Travis have. And, you know, at your age, it's like, you know, I was blown away by that stuff when I was a little kid. And Now you have grown up being bombarded by all this technology and the effects in the movies and everything else.
The CGI is crazy.
It's going to be numb to you, especially if we start with the original trilogy. And that, you know, it's like I love it, and I want you to love it, but I don't know if you will. And I think that's the interesting part of it. I'm really curious. I can't wait. I'm so glad we get to talk about this here. And then we'll view it, and then we can come back and talk about what you thought.
It'll be a fun experience. Yeah, fun experience
for sure.
And then we got to decide what order to show them the movies in.
Yes.
And honestly, how do we not go as originally planned by the franchise? Because they planned it, and I again not knowing that there's a reason. There was a method to the madness that they released 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, and 3, I would think. So wouldn't you want to, shouldn't I experience it? And maybe we should take an email vote from all of the listeners as to how I should watch this. You know, is it important that I start back in 1977 with the original
release? In my opinion, I think you have to start with Episode 4, A New Hope, the one that came out in 1977, simply because if you start out with the prequels, you're going to be saying, oh, the Jedi do all this crazy stuff because it's supposed to be like in the prime of the Jedi. And then all of a sudden you get to the stuff that happens later but was filmed earlier. In that first episode, I don't think you even see a force push.
Just a choke, yeah.
You see Vader choking, mm-hmm. but you see Luke deflecting things with the training ball on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know? So there's really, you learn about the Force through the eyes of Luke. And I think if you've seen 1, 2, and 3, that's all pretty boring.
Oh, yeah. Know?
You know, because we didn't know all the stuff that the Jedi could do.
Yeah.
So I need to learn about the Force along with Luke Skywalker. But now, see, over the course
of... Yeah, let's not ruin this for him. Right. Let's, you know, we don't give him too much information.
And unfortunately, you know, there's...
Vader's his dad.
You know, and it sounds like there's a sibling issue as well. There's been a few spoiler alerts over the last...
40 years. Yes.
And that's the other interesting thing about it is he's grown up in a Star Wars-rich environment. I mean, you can't not know anything about it.
Right.
You know, you know things.
Right. You know the basic premise of it.
Yeah, you're not going to have that blown away factors that
here's where my true absolute mind blower is going to come from. Okay, I am fully expecting because again I'm a comedy guy. I didn't watch sci-fi growing up. As a child, you watch what your parents watch or what your parents allow you to watch. You know, so you get into those types of things. I've been a comedy guy my whole life. So you guys are going to be excited watching me go through this process, learn about the Star Wars, which is very cool. What I'm excited about is how much funnier is Spaceballs going to be when I watch it and now I know some of the references. You know, I have a feeling that sitting through this quick math 12 to 14 hour process with you guys is going to make Mel Brooks funnier for me. And that is the ultimate. In my world, that's the ultimate win-win, man. You know?
Have you seen Spaceballs?
I love Spaceballs.
What sick?
It's one of my favorites.
What sick, perverted son of a gun let you watch Spaceballs without knowing, you hadn't seen Star Wars?
You got to remember, my dad's on parole. So, you know, it's one of these situations where, you know, again, growing up, again, in that kind of the comedic value of everything, I wonder if I'm going to see... It's a reverse experience. You guys all saw Spaceballs. You're like, oh, that's so funny. They're making fun of this in Star Wars. I'm going to watch Star Wars and go, that's what Mel Brooks was making fun of. So there's like this reverse experience for me, which is kind of a cool way to think about it when you look at the situation as a whole.
Love it.
But yes, I mean, Rick Moranis, you know, I mean, and what's great too, that's one of those movies as you get older, there's funny references you didn't catch.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, oh, I bet she gives a great helmet. Yes. You know, at 10 years old, you don't get that. At 16, you're like, that's funny. He's talking about a blowjob. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I digress.
So, Travis, why do you think what is it about toys that brought you back as an adult? Is there some feeling it gives you, something that you get out of it?
It definitely is the nostalgia. It's this great thing. This feeling that you had as a child with these toys and how much fun you had with them. And then you throw in the fact that they're remaking the toys from our childhood right now, and they're making them better. Now, that's an argument in itself.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's amazing the feeling that it does create. And, and I'm a weird, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in later shows too, but like I buy all this stuff, and I bet I open maybe 15% of what I buy.
Right.
And
which irritates the hell out of me, by the way.
And it's not that I'm like, I have to keep it in the package so it's worth more money. It's not even that. It's all these other things. It's time, it's space, it's...
He just doesn't want to let me play with them.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I'm selfish too, but... I look at all those things, and I'm also too, the toy thing has been wonderful for me, but it also... I'm what I lack in artistic ability, I think I'm a friend collector. That probably is really my ability. I have good friends. I have great friends. And even prior to the toys, but now with the toys, I have made friends, through these toys and these toy shows and comic book conventions, and that's how Steve and I met. And to me, that's the wonderful part. Now not only do you have these great friends, but you also share these common things that you love to talk about together. And I mean, me and Pete can sit and talk about comic books for hours, and that's the fun part of this for me. It's all of the stuff that comes with it, and the toys are just a part of that.
And that definitely it's not what got me back, but it's what I think has ensured that I'm going to stay. Is because I touched on a little earlier that at first I was like trying to find an excuse to collect toys. And I didn't have any friends that I could really share this with.
Somebody wants to jump in the van and drive 3 hours to look at a lot, or to hit up a backyard toy sale or a swap meet looking for that cool find.
Didn't know they exist, didn't know where to find them, and if they did, I figured they would be weird like me. I don't want to hang out with anybody like me. And then, lo and behold, I bump into Travis and, find out we live, 15 miles from each other maybe. And then that was so cool because I, had to, first, he's pushy salesman. He makes me buy a USS flag from him. I'm like, hey, if you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to give me like $700. That's what I paid, isn't it?
Not even close. Not even said, close.
Again, guys, an editor's note here. That was one of six flags at the time that Travis had in his possession. And that's only the six that he's got up for sale. The other two are at his house on display.
So. Yeah, and one's being customized.
One is being customized.
Not by me.
Which is going to be an absolutely rad shield helicarrier. So,
hopefully
nobody copies that idea now that we said that.
If they do, it would be cool to see the picture. So. It would be
cool to see what they did.
Yeah.
Because Bill will do it better.
Bill will do it better.
Anyways, so yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. The whole friendship thing, that I've met so many people. I wouldn't have anybody to do this crazy idea of a podcast with if I hadn't met these guys, and toys brought me to them. So, absolutely. So, Pete, what do you think about this? What's in it for you?
Really, I'm totally here for the social aspect, man. I really, again, having been brought in, having been friends with Travis, and then, it was the peer pressure. He was that kid in high school that was like, hey, man, you should try this. Hey, you should try this. And next thing you're dead in the gutter with a needle in your arm. Luckily, it wasn't anything that hardcore, but, going to these shows, man, has just been an absolute riot. And you get the four or five or the six or seven of us together, whatever, whoever's all there from the toy crew, we call it, at these shows, and you spend the entire day laughing and
yes,
you're having a good time. And again, you're meeting other people, and you're meeting people that are, that are just fun and cool, and you bring them into the kind of into the circle, and then you meet other people that scare the hell out of you.
Like, they're quirky.
Hey, Travis, I'm gonna go walk by his booth. Will you keep an eye on me to make sure that I don't end up, you know, in a trunk or end up a lampshade in this guy's basement. But that's really it too, man. Like I said, the social aspect has been a ton of fun, and throughout these episodes, you guys are gonna get to meet all of the different personalities that we've kind of brought into. To, you know, again, what we call our toy crew, and everybody comes from a different place, and yet there's so much in common. And we're to the point now of where even the family stuff, all of our kids play and have fun. All the wives can sit and talk shit about us collecting toys together.
Yeah, they've got something in common.
they've got a common thread now.
That they all want to kill us.
Right. You know, and so like I said, it's been just a lot of fun. And, you know, and there's been some shows that we've done great, and I've been able to, you know, to help sell other people's toys because I don't sell my own, you know, and it, again, that whole ambiance of it of, you know, finding, there hasn't been a show that we've gone to where we haven't walked out with something we've been looking for.
Right.
Or something that was really cool that we didn't know we needed until we saw it. And then we realized, oh man, I got to have that. You know, Travis has got a whole shelf of just some of the coolest stuff that, you know, people have brought to life in the world of, you know, custom action figures and stuff that, mm-hmm. Again, we wouldn't have known existed had we not been rubbing elbows with. And I gotta say it, I don't understand. There's a percentage of this Comic-Con population that boycott deodorant, and I don't know why it is, but it's guys, it's okay to leave the house in pants that have a button and a zipper on them. You don't have to wear sweatpants.
They're comfy though.
Yeah.
To me, you look shady because I'm like, you're gonna try to steal something. You're stuffing Star Wars Power of the Force figures out of the $3 bin down into your baggy sweatpants.
But it's just Travis's stuff.
And that's why, again, if you guys ever, you know, we're going to be at the Grand Rapids Comic Con coming up here in October. If you guys want a good deal, stop by and see Steve or I. Yeah. We will cut you a sweet deal.
Because Travis won't be there in the booth.
Ever.
So just to lay down this dynamic here in case we haven't been clear, Travis has the toy business. He goes and is a vendor at these toy shows, Comic Cons, anything within range we can drive to. We'll have funny stories about that in future episodes. Me and Pete and a couple other cohorts, which, like Pete said, you'll probably meet them if you listen to our coming episodes. We help them when we can, which, you know, our schedules vary. So, you know, sometimes Pete's there and I'm not. A lot of times I'm there and Pete's not.
Ouch.
But I don't really do much when I'm there. I kind of just shop and stuff. So.
And I could sell ice to Eskimos. So,
right.
I mean, I'm that guy. So,
it'll be honest, Vernetta still has you beat.
Vernetta has, and you guys are going to miss out if you don't know Vernetta or don't ever get to know Vernetta. You are truly missing out. Vernetta has some assets that I don't have that allows her to attract a certain type of attention in a room full of nerds and is able to make some great sales. So, one of the most the most full of life people you'll ever meet, and I guarantee you she'll be a guest on here, and you guys will fall in love with her the way we all have. So
yes. So we're getting down to the end here of episode zero. Hopefully we've done a good job of introducing ourselves. Like I said, this is our first podcast, and if you listen, you'll probably notice I was very nervous at the beginning, but just sitting here talking with my friends is really calming me down, and it's a little bit more fluent. So hopefully that trend continues and we get better at this. Like I tell my wife every night, I say, it'll be better next time, I promise. And, you know, but.
But just like if you get 3-4 episodes in, you'll probably be just like his wife and realize that we're full of shit.
So anyways, I just want to say, you know, in future episodes, they won't be like this. We're going to have things to talk about. We might have shows to recap. Heck, the last show we did, we got robbed.
Actually, robbed.
like
we drove to Ohio to sell at a show where we knew we weren't. Well, actually, I say we. It's Travis's money. He drives. Buckeyes. It's his gas. He puts us up in the hotel. He don't pay us.
It's always the Buckeye fans.
Yeah,
you can't trust.
So, and we, you know, and we go down there to sell at a show because it was a Joe-based show, and we love Joe, and G.I. Joe. I mean, not a guy. And
there are Joes in our lives that we care very much about.
And yeah, we ended up getting robbed, and we might talk about that a little bit more in depth later. But we're going to talk about stuff like that, stuff at work. Like, I didn't answer the question, am I out? Yeah, everybody knows that I collect toys. I customize at the break room table at my job, and I'm a city worker. So when I'm not leaning on a shovel, I'm painting a G.I. Joe in front of people. My boss walks in and thinks I'm crazy. And
from here on out, every time you guys hit a pothole, I want you to go, damn it, Steve.
I only do it on my union scheduled break, so it's okay. I don't neglect potholes to paint toys.
My union scheduled break is from 12 to 4:15.
And I have my hot toy shipped to work. Don't tell my wife. So hopefully you got to know us. And yeah, so future episodes, we're going to talk about how like that stuff affects us in our personal life. If we have a funny wife is mad at us story, we'll share it. If we have a new toy to talk about, we'll share it. If we're excited about getting something, we'll share it. We might talk about a movie when Pete finally sees Star Wars, or maybe other movies. Travis would be probably our most knowledgeable guy on comics. He might have some things to say about some comics sometimes. So this is going to be a very broad show from a bunch of regular guys who are only doing this podcast because we thought it was fun. And the Lions were losing. So what are we going to do? We're going to make a podcast.
And we're going to become Bears fans.
And the biggest thing. Is there anything else you want to say, anybody? We good? Or?
You know, I'd just like to, you know, do a little shout out to the fact that, you know, there are, I mean, we've talked about it, that, you know, there are more members to this crew. And it is going to be fun to reach out to, you know, Kyle and Jason and some of these guys, especially when we start talking about Star Wars and.
Absolutely. We get a lot of guests that can come. They, you know, it's another thing, too. We're not, I mean, maybe we will. I listen to other podcasts, and they got like, here, we got this guy who designed Bazooka's mustache back in 1985. And we're probably not going to get those guys. But you're going to get regular guys on here that are like, hopefully, the people that are listening to this.
Not guys that made Bazooka's mustache better.
Yeah. Did I say better? I don't even know what I said. So... You know, that's hopefully it'll be enjoyable. I think it'd be enjoyable. It'd be what I'd want to listen to. And I don't think there's many podcasts out there that deal with toys from an actual, like, they go to shows and sell stuff to nerds. And I think we bring that to the table, which I think could be very entertaining. So, now the other thing is, I have no idea how to end this thing.
Honestly, I think it's important to mention, especially, you know, you're Michigan-based, even Midwest-based. There's a Facebook page that was created by Travis, Michigan Toy Traders, and it's literally a group of guys that's informal like this. If you've got something you want to sell, you're looking for something, a lot of it's action figure identification. You get a random sword and a lot posted up there, and all these guys sincerely try to help you find out what it is. I try to come up with a fun backstory and make believe as to what I think it might be, and I'm normally way off, but normally it's good for comic relief. So get on there, jump on there on the Facebook page. We're going to be linking the podcast to there as well, so you guys can hopefully find it. And at some point, there'll be a way to communicate with us, an email. If you guys ever have, you know, questions or things you want to know about or things that, you know, anything really in the toy world, give us some topics. We'll talk about it, and maybe we'll even phone some friends in and bring you guys in and talk over the air and get your opinion on some of the things that we think are cool or what, you know. Again, this is all about us just having fun, so be a part of it with us.
Absolutely, and we got a lot of growing to do. We will have a email address put in place where you can send us messages, tell us that we're stupid and we should quit trying. And then you know what we'll do? We'll just do this podcast every weekly or monthly or whatever we decide to do. We just won't turn on the equipment and we'll just have fun with it ourselves because we are that desperate. So, yeah, so I guess that's it. What's the live audience think? Yeah. Well, they liked it. Listen to that. That's, yep.
Sounds like you're getting off the comedy stage.
No, it doesn't. I don't have a crickets little thing here. I wish I did. Maybe next time. And so, yeah, goodbye. And hopefully you check us out on this because I don't even know how to put this on the internet yet. So if you find it, we did it. And look for episode 1 to follow. Thanks, everybody. And we'll hopefully see you next time.